in another, it's hard to remember them. So I'm in the King James. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Now, a desert sounds quite remote to me, but the backside of the desert sounds even more remote. And Moses was there keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and he led them to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, everyone say he turned aside. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. When God speaks to you, that's a great response. When he calls your name, that's a great response. Here am I. And the Lord said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I want to minister today from this portion of Scripture, Exodus 3, but I want to minister on this title, The Flame of God. The Flame of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for what we feel in this house. And Lord, I pray, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do a work in every life and every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. As a young person, I was and still are fascinated with survival shows. They're exciting. Someone like Bear Grylls and some of his shows are very interesting to watch because it's all about survival. I remember as a young kid, I had a survival knife. I had a survival pack. Even if I went fishing at Lake Burley Griffin, I always took my survival pack. But there's an innate instinct in every one of us to survive. The human race has been able to survive through some unthinkable things. People have studied this over time. People even push the limits to see how long they can survive. And so you'll see in survival shows, they push the limits to show you how they can survive under terrible extreme conditions and how long they can survive without food and all of those things. And so when I go into the bush, just in case I get lost or in case I have an accident, I make sure that I take a survival pack. Just in case I may have to be there overnight or something like that. But in all of the things that I know about survival, everyone say survival. There is one thing that I've learned, and that is the importance of fire. One of the first things you're going to put in your survival kit is a way to make fire. Sometimes matches may not be the best idea because they can get wet, but a flint or something so that you can make fire. You see, in order to survive, this is a reality, there must be fire. And if you understand, there's many reasons why we need fire. You see, fire is a key to all of the survival techniques. You can have all the gadgets and all of that. You can have your GPS, all of those things. But in order to survive, there must be fire. Everyone say fire. Fire is the king of all survival techniques. Why? Because you need to drink water. And you're not always going to be able to get a bottle of Mount Franklin water while you're out in the bush. You may be able to find a pond of water, and you're going to need some fire to purify the water. You might not be able to order an Uber Eats or a Big Mac while you're in the middle of the bush, but you may be able to find an animal that you can take some meat, and you're going to need to do something with that meat. You're going to have to cook it. And you can eat that meat if you cook it on the fire. When it comes to when we get lost and we need to get attention, we need fire because of the smoke signals. We can send up smoke with fire so people can know where we are. And then in the cold of the night, when it's cold, when it's like these Canberra evenings, you can get by the fire and you can get warmth. And then in the dark, you're not able to switch a light on. And you can turn on the light by lighting a fire. You can use a fire even when you're in a place where there may be predators and things like that. The fire will keep the predators at a distance. And fire is one of the most important things, I would say, if not the most important thing when it comes to survival. Everybody say fire. And so if you're going to survive, and if this church is going to survive, but not just survive, if we're going to thrive in these last days. And if the church is going to thrive in these last days, let me say this today. We've got to have the fire. And I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's exactly what we need in these last days. It is the flame of God. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If we're going to survive in these last days, you've got to have the flame of God. And so when you go in through the Bible and you study the Bible, you'll see that there are different symbols for the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know about the dove, and I spoke a little while ago about the pillar of cloud. But one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is fire. In the New Testament, the birthday of the church was accompanied with fire. Right there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room, the Bible says, there was cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. God, listen to me today. God has always had a desire to dwell with man. From the very beginning, God has desired to dwell with man. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve did what they shouldn't do, when they ate of the fruit that God told them that they should not eat of, when they realized that they were naked and clothed themselves in fig leaves, they were hiding from God, or so they thought. And God in His nature desired to be with man, and He came looking for them in the garden. Then we read, when Moses was given the tabernacle plan, there's so many things I could talk about God wanting to dwell with man, but God told Moses, He said, I want you to build a sanctuary. I want you to build a tabernacle. In Exodus 25 and verse 8, He said, I want you to build a tabernacle. And He said, Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now this goes a little bit further. God not just being with us, but in us. As God hath said, I will dwell with them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. From the very beginning, God has always had a desire to dwell with man. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that he tells us in an undeniable way that God not only lives among us, but our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. And that temple, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God comes to live inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so today, as we prepare for Pentecost Sunday, next Sunday, let me say this, the fire of the Holy Ghost is no ordinary fire. I was hesitant to even talk about the sort of fire that you need for survival, but it helped me paint a picture of the importance of the fire of the Holy Ghost in our life. Because this Holy Spirit, this infilling of the Holy Spirit, is no ordinary flame. It is a flame that comes from heaven. It is the Spirit of God inside us. It is the flame of God. The flame of God. And so, when you come to church, I believe That church should be a place where we leave with instruction. That we leave church with encouragement. Let the preaching be practical. Let the preaching be relevant. Let the preaching be anointed. All of those things. Let us learn something when we come to church. We want to hear God's word. And we want to hear how we should live. Because the words, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when I get out of church, I want to know where to put my feet and I want to know which path to take. And so I want to know what the Bible says. However, in all of our learning and all of our encouragement, in all of our inspiration, God is not just something to be taught about. God is not just something to be learned about. I want to tell somebody today, God can be experienced. And I'm thankful that I don't just know about God, but I've experienced Him. You can experience God. It's not like coming to university and just learning some more things about God, but you can experience Him in your life. You can experience Him moving in your life. He can touch you. If you've never experienced God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But let me tell you, there is an experience waiting for you. And when you experience God for yourself, it will change your life. And I want to encourage young people. Some of us are trying to live on the experiences of our parents and our grandparents. But let me tell you, it's not just about knowing about God, but you can truly know Him and you can truly experience Him. The flame of God. And so from the very beginning, the flame has been representative of the power and the presence of God. Moses, we know Moses well. It could be said of Moses that he walked with God like nobody else. The Bible doesn't, I like it, the Bible doesn't sugarcoat the account of Moses. We see the good side, we see the bad side, we see the upside, we see the downside, and you know, we can even relate to Moses. As great as he was, his failures and his faults helped me relate to him even better. Moses was born in Egypt. He had Hebrew parents. They set him afloat on the Nile River because there was an edict that the death of all newborn Hebrew babies were, all newborn Hebrew babies were to be slaughtered. And so they put their little Hebrew boy, Moses, they put him on that little basket and sent him down the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter finds him and he grows up in Pharaoh's house. But then when Moses came of age, he had to make a decision. He's a Hebrew living in an Egyptian palace. And there will come a time for every single one of us where we must make up our mind. And Moses came to that age and he made a decision on which way he was going to go. And let me tell you, as usual, the right decision is not always the easy decision. And it's not always going to be the popular decision. But Moses says this, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, everyone say, you got to make a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't believe anybody that tells you there's no pleasure in sin, because there is pleasure in sin. But it's only going to last for a season. And some of you, that's your testimony. You can say, yeah, I was there, Pastor. I thought that's what I needed. I pursued the pleasures of sin. And you know what? It never satisfied. It ran out. It let me down. But Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, esteeming persecution greater than riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. And so from an early upbringing, Moses knew that the one true God wanted to use him. But Moses forgot about God's timing. He heard, had a call of God on his life, but God also had some timing for him. And Moses forgot about the timing, and Moses tried to do things his own way. In Exodus 2 verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass when Moses was grown that he went up out unto his brethren, and he looked at the burdens that they were carried," all those Hebrew people treated as slaves carrying burdens, "and he saw an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew," one of his brothers, a brethren, another Hebrew. "And he looked this way and he looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he went and slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand." There's a preaching point right there if you let me preach. Moses looked this way and that way, but he didn't look up. He tried to take matters into his own hands. Just like some of us. Some of us, if I ask you to raise your hand, you say, "Yeah, Pastor, been there, done that, tried to take matters in my own hands, couldn't wait for God, so I just did what I thought God wanted me to do, or I just did what I thought I needed to do. And you know what, Pastor? I was there and I fell short, and all I had to do is I had something to bury at the end." Moses took matters into the own hands. He fell short very seriously, and he couldn't even bury one soldier. Couldn't even do that properly. You see, hiding our wrong doesn't erase our wrong. Write that down if you're taking notes. It only postpones the discovery of it. I remember when I was a child, I tried to hide things from my parents. But you know what? It just postponed the discovery of it. And I was reminded, beware, your sins will find you out. So Moses, he hid it, and he ran and fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he went to the land of Midian. And there he is, 40 years in Midian. Now he's got some time to reflect, not only in the desert, but in the backside of the desert. And Midian is an inauguration for him of spiritual loneliness. He's there, can't phone a friend. Difficult. He just got some sheep to look after, his father-in-law's sheep. And let me tell you, sometimes we got to be like Moses. Sometimes we got to go and allow ourselves to go and to turn off all the noise so we can hear God. And Moses is there in the backside of the desert with a few sheep. That's the only noise that he can hear. And it was here in this place of isolation that God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. Now, it's not uncommon for bushes to explode into fire in the desert, because there are chemicals, there are oils inside of them. When in hot conditions, they can burn. But there's something about those ones, those natural occurring ones, is that the bush will burn up. And so Moses sees fire. And he's like, there's another burning bush. But this one is different, because he looks and he goes, it's not consumed. It's still burning. And then he says, and now I will turn aside and look at it. And maybe it's telling us that he didn't take it seriously the first time, but when he saw that it wasn't consumed, he realized something miraculous was happening, and he turned aside. And God spoke to him out of the burning bush when he encountered the flame of God. When Moses encountered the flame of God, everything changed in his life. Moses was called by God. He said, "Mo, I want you to go back. I know you're 80 years old, but I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And Moses thinking, you know what? I already left Egypt. I remember I had to run. I never thought I would have to go back there again. But Moses goes back just as God tells him to, and God uses him. He goes into Pharaoh. He says, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh says, no. And God sends plague after plague after plague. Eventually, the angel of the shadow of death passes over the city, and the death of the firstborn in each house that hadn't applied the blood. And Moses relents and he lets them go. And they get out there and they come to the edge of the sea, right there on the shore of the Red Sea. And they're there. They got the Red Sea in front of them. They can hear the hooves of the chariots and the horses coming. And you know what? Pharaoh changed his mind. The enemy is behind them. An obstacle is in front of them. The sound of horses' hooves. They're surely saying, "We are surely doomed to die." But Moses was called of God. Moses had a call of God on his life, and Moses called upon the Lord, and great things happened. That sea opened up, and Moses, he couldn't even kill one Egyptian properly. But if he had waited for God's timing, God was going to take care of all the Egyptian army in the water. I want to tell you, I want to do it in God's time. I want to do it in God's power. But it all started when Moses experienced the flame of God. Your bread came from heaven. Water came out of a rock. They got to the bitter waters of Marah, and Moses says, hey, throw a stick in, and it becomes sweet. All of this began in Moses' life. And I'm sorry to all the retirees here today. All of this began in Moses' life when he thought his life was concluding. He was in the backside of the desert. He was ready to fade out. But that was not the will of God. And Moses encountered the flame of God. You see, Moses, you really can't start living until you encounter the flame of God. And for you and I, brothers and sisters, we don't start living until we encounter the flame of the Holy Spirit in our life. Moses thought that nobody knows where I am, but God knew exactly where he was, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and it was a transition point in Moses' life when he encountered the flame, when God appeared unto Moses in the flame of fire. The bush was burning but was not consumed. It was the flame of God. That's when God broke his 40-year silence. The flame. God speaks. Moses says, here am I. Great answer. Because Abraham said the same thing in Genesis 22. Here I am, or here am I. Jacob said the same thing in Genesis 31. Here am I. Samuel's answer in 1 Samuel 3 was, here am I. Isaiah's answer in Isaiah 6 was, here am I. And if God is speaking to you today, maybe you're like Moses today. Maybe you're trying to bury something, a mistake that you've taken into your own hands. If God is speaking to you today, the question is, are you listening? And are you willing to respond and say, here am I? And God says, Moses, I am that I am. Go and tell Pharaoh. He's shaking, he's quivering. He didn't know what. He says, go and tell Pharaoh that the I am sent you. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Moses got a revelation of God. And so he walks into Pharaoh's palace. I think about that. He ran. He killed an Egyptian. But he goes back after all those years. And he walked straight into Pharaoh's palace. I thought, wow, I can't imagine that. It's probably the last place I would go if I was going to go back to somewhere where I would run from. But let me tell you, you can walk anywhere if you've been on holy ground. Because when you experience the holiness and the power of God, when you experience holy ground, there is no way, nowhere that you cannot go. There's nowhere that you should be based, you should be intimidated, because you've experienced the flame of God. God has spoken to you. You didn't just learn about him, but you experienced him. And when people come to you and they try to persecute you and mock you, you can say, you know what? I've been on holy ground. I've experienced God for myself. I'm not some theologian, but I do know a few things. I experienced God in a way, and I had an experience that I never had anywhere else. And that's my challenge to you today. Not that you would just grow in knowledge. Knowledge is important. Knowing the truth is important. All of those things are so important, but not at the cost of experiencing God. This is no ordinary flame. It comes from heaven. God is not just something to be taught about, but you can experience him for yourself. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, John was a forerunner for Jesus Christ, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, when you're baptized into Jesus, like Acts 2:38, there's a promise. It says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is the message of salvation. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what John the Baptist was saying. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it happened. Jesus said, go. You know, they're worried because Jesus has ascended. They've been walking and talking with Jesus. He's been doing miracles. It was a good thing they had going on. But Jesus said, I'm going to ascend. He rose again. They saw him for 40 days by many infallible proofs. But they really wondered how they're going to do this great commission thing without Jesus. How are they going to go into all the world and preach the gospel without Jesus with them? And Jesus said, go and tarry. Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The same power that Jesus had, they were going to be endued with power from on high. Look what happens on the day of Pentecost. That spiritual flame, that flame of God. And Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There they were, 120 of them in one place. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They experienced the flame of God, and they went out of that place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible even said they turned the world upside down. They turned the world upside down because they experienced the flame. In Genesis 1, we see the work of the Holy Spirit right there in Genesis. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You see, if you're without form or void, if you're feeling empty today, let the Spirit of God move on your life today, that you may experience Him, not just head knowledge, but an experience with God, just like Moses had with that burning bush, and you'll never be the same again. And I tell you, in these last days, in this day and in this hour, we need a move of God in our life. We need to experience God. And I know some of you sit here today and you say, Pastor, this journey, this walk as a Christian is a weary journey. This walk as a Christian is a hard journey, and Jesus never promised it would be easy. But let me tell you, there is a flame for every burned out believer. God can set you on fire again. If you feel burned out, let me tell you, there is a flame that will not be consumed. It will not consume you, but you cannot burn out, but you will burn on. You will burn on in God. You see, there is a flame for every burned out believer. You can be revived. You can be refreshed. You can be renewed. The first church needed the fire. How much more do we need the fire of the Holy Ghost? We used to sing a song, I was born in the flame of a Pentecostal fire, and I got exactly what my soul desired. And the fire keeps on burning. The fire keeps on burning. I was born in the flame of a Pentecostal fire. One old preacher said this. He said, I was born in the fire. He said, I can't stand to live in the smoke. How many of us were born in the flame, but now we tolerate living in the smoke? Let God revive you. Let God set you on fire again. Experience the flame of God. And you say, oh, we live in a dark world. Things have changed. Yes, it's not like the 40s and 50s when everyone was going to church. In fact, now Australians, most Australians are against Christians. But let me tell you, the darker the world, the brighter the flame. That's why the church needs to be set on fire by the flame of God. For the Israelites, they needed a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And I want to be that pillar of fire to a dark world. I want people to see that, hey, there's more to this guy, JD, than we see. There's something about him. He's a nice guy. I hope they say that. But they say there's something about him that's supernatural. There's something extraordinary. I want them to see the flame of God, that in a dark world, the brighter the flame. Hebrews 12:29, as the musicians come, the Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. Woo! Our God is a consuming fire. Let him consume you today. Let him fill you today. Let him take over your life and your worries. Give them to God. Isaiah said, he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me, I'm undone. It says, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. Where do you think that seraphim got the live coal? From the fire. A live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. You see, woe is me. I need a live coal from the fire today. I want the fire. I need the fire. We need the fire. We need the fire to survive. We need the fire to thrive. That's why Paul in Acts 19, when he went into the upper coast of Ephesus, and he comes and he finds some disciples having a Bible study. And he walks straight in on them. And he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's wonderful that you're believing. But there's more. Have you received the fire, the flame of God? Verse 6 says, and Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Ghost came on them, just like they did in the upper room on Acts chapter 2. And they spake with tongues and they prophesied. Let's all stand. Luke chapter 11, verse 10. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, are you going to give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? And Jesus says, and if you, being evil, you even know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The reality here today is that some of us need a fresh touch of God on our life today. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit today, I'd love to pray with you and we can believe. It's simple. Ask and you shall receive. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Come to this altar seeking God and you will experience God in a way you've never experienced Him. You can add some experience to all of your knowledge. You can experience God and it will change your life. Can we just lift our hands right now in surrender to what God wants to do in this house right now? Don't hold back. You can come to this altar straight away. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Come and bow down at this altar. Bow your knee and say, God, I want to experience your flame. I want to experience that fire. I need a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit, oh God. I need you to touch my life, oh God. Come on, somebody, He can touch you today. Oh, yes, there is a refreshing. There is a rest. It comes through the Holy Spirit today. Oh, oh yes. Come on, somebody. Lift your hands and surrender to God. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Let the flame of God touch your heart. Let the coal touch your lips. I want to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit.